administration is stepping up the defense of its response to intelligence assessments that suggested Russia had offered bounties for killing U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. responded appropriately to the intelligence assessments.
We took this seriously. We handled it appropriately. The Russians have been selling small arms that put Americans at risk there for 10 years. We've objected to it.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said that the CIA and Pentagon did pursue the lead and briefed international allies. Seattle police have cleared the city's so-called protest zone. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best says lawlessness within the protest zone brought about the mayor's order to clear the area.
This order and our police response comes after weeks of violence in and around the Capitol Hill occupied protest zone, including multiple shootings resulting in many injuries and two deaths.
As residents of the neighborhood near the city's downtown watched from balconies, police cleared out the protesters' tents from a park within the zone and made sure no one was left in the park's bathrooms. Hong Kong police have made their first arrest under a new anti-protest law imposed by Beijing as crowds mark 23 years since the end of British rule.
The first arrest was a man detained for holding up a banner advocating Hong Kong independence. Anyone convicted of trying to split the territory from the rest of China now faces up to life in prison. He was detained during unapproved protests against the new national security law, at which police used water cannon and pepper spray to disperse activists. Further arrests quickly followed. The new law has given Beijing extensive powers over life in Hong Kong for the first time.
The BBC's Michael Bristow reporting. A mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow is down by 77 points, but the Nasdaq rose by 95. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI for SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
It's 4:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, the Silver State will remain in Phase 2 on its roadmap to recovery, at least until the end of July. The latest directive from Governor Sisolak keeps in place for another month. The governor hit the pause button on moving into Phase 3 on June 15th amid the increasing coronavirus infection rates. Contact tracing in Nevada has identified more than 1,500 COVID-19 cases which might not have been detected, and confirms that the top risk factors for infection are people visiting indoor venues and not following guidelines on social distancing and face coverings. State health officials also say the COVID-19 infection rates have shifted to younger people, with more than half of all of Nevada's cases reported in June among people between the ages of 20 and 49 years of age. Culinary Local 226 has filed a lawsuit against some major Las Vegas Strip venues, charging the properties are not offering safe working conditions. The lawsuit focuses on the Signature at the MGM Grand, Sedell's Cafe at the Bellagio, and Guy Fieri's Las Vegas Kitchen and Bar. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus statewide stands at 18,456. 507 people have died in the state of Nevada.
KMCQ on time traffic
is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Now we're getting some slow flows in a few areas right now on the 95 northbound at Smoke Ranch, also on the Beltway 215 west at Green Valley, east 215 at Valley Verde. And those lane restrictions continue on the Beltway as well. 215 northbound at Tropicana.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
All across the country, there is a call for police reform. In some areas, they're talking about something more than just police reform. They're talking about defunding the police. Americans for Prosperity is active across the country. And here in Southern Nevada, Wiz Ruzard is the Community Engagement Director for Americans for Prosperity. We sometimes lovingly refer to them as AFP. And he joins Wiz. How you been, my friend?
Kevin, it's always a pleasure to have myself on your show. You do a tremendous job in keeping our valley informed, and I'm excited as the Community Engagement Director with the AFP to share a little bit of insights as to what we're doing here in the ground throughout the state and across the country when we're talking about police reform.
First of all, explain what Americans for Prosperity is. For those that don't know, some only know it as, oh, that group owned by the Koch brothers. But explain exactly what it is you do and the approach you take.
So Americans for Prosperity is probably the largest grassroots organization throughout the country that advocates the ideals of freedom, equal rights, and we have a deep belief that every person can contribute and succeed. And really our big passion and drive is to empower the voices of millions of people across the state. And we offer our support through tools, policy solutions that can help those individuals closest to the community to break down those barriers that typically hold people back.
Now, explain, you folks put out a release earlier this week talking about the legislation that you folks are backing or at least deserve some sort of conversation, a national dialogue, if you will, on police reform. Can you talk, in fact, let's begin with the Tim Scott bill, because this is the bill that I think has the best chance eventually to pass. But the Democrats wouldn't even take it up in the Senate.
Oh, yeah, you hit it on the nail. Tim Scott's bill, the Justice Act, was just a tremendous bipartisan process in terms of the ideas, but unfortunately, with the first vote, it passed. But just to talk a little bit for those who don't know, Senator Tim Scott is the only black Republican. As a matter of fact, this was an issue he had brought to the floor about 5 years ago when he himself had interacted with law enforcement and felt a little discriminatory practices towards him as a senator. So he's been working on this, and when President Trump reached out, he realized that Tim Scott was the man for this job. So Tim Scott took it very, very serious and started to really work on the Justice Act. And when we talk about the Justice Act, you're looking at several things that it was going to drive. Number one, it was going to require states and local governments to receive certain federal funding to report all use of force events. that caused serious injury or death, or where there's a firearm discharged to the FBI use of force data collection. So this publicly available data has basically given us incident information, subject information, and officer information. It also would have required state and local governments to receive certain federal funding and federal law enforcement to report to the Attorney General information of the no-knock warrant carried out and deny certain federal funding for law enforcement agencies that do not have an updated policy on chokeholds that allow their use in situations to be deadly force. And I think this goes back to the whole Breonna Taylor situation, as you saw. We saw the situation with Floyd in Minneapolis, and the Justice Act really touched on a lot of key measures, and it was very unfortunate that it didn't pass. But we think we're pretty hopeful maybe it'll resurface, and perhaps we can engage some Democrats to come out and support this bill. But there's just a plethora of points that I can talk to forever, Kevin, on this measure. And my hope is, as we continue to have the dialogue, that these ideas just can start funneling down to the state level and local municipalities.
Again, Wiz Rezar joining us, the Community Engagement Director for Americans for Prosperity. One of the things that I know AFP has talked about is that in order to improve policing, that you're going to have to essentially reform the culture of policing. Can you talk about what that entails? What would that look like?
Yeah, the culture is a big thing. When you look at currently, first and foremost, when we talk about the police culture, we're talking about protecting those good officers that go out every day, put their lives on the line, and defend our rights and liberties and protect our communities against those bad police officers through bad policies that remain within the department. When we talk about the culture, we're talking about transforming how we deal with these type of situations in the community and de-escalation, from de-escalation training to diversity to reassessing certain policies and practices, as we said. Banning the chokehold is one, and ensuring that there's some type of level of accountability and transparency with the public and oversight committees that can basically resolve those matters effectively.
Now, let me ask you, the other side, the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, they've got a bill that they've been talking about, but it is dead on arrival in the Senate. The president would never sign it. Explain what the Democrats want, and how is it different than Tim Scott's bill?
Well, I think ultimately, given the circumstance in the country right now, with no bills being passed, the individuals that are hurting are the people and the law enforcement that are out there every day putting their lives on the line. Something has to be done because people are looking for answers. So if we make this political, then more incidents much like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor's are going to happen, and I don't think this country can move for one more day to see another incident like that take place. So for us, being nonpartisan, we look to basically unite with all to do right and none to do wrong. Whether it's Democrats or Republican, we're looking for a bill that really solves a lot of the problems, but more importantly preserves the principles and ideals of our Constitution in terms of making sure that the problems are resolved best closest to the community and not a one glove fits all. But we see that the federal government and the conversations are headed in the right direction. Tim Scott kind of laid out some of the differences within the bill, but ultimately we'd like to see basically good policy passed to where everyone is unified, because this is a unified issue.
Wiz, is there common ground? Are there some elements of both these bills, both the Nancy Pelosi, the George Floyd Justice Act, Justice and Policing Act, and Tim Scott's bill. Is there common ground here? Is there something that we can all agree upon?
I think we all can agree upon that the time is now, that reform needs to happen with our police culture. Bad policies and some bad officers have damaged the relationship that has basically been garnered with police officers and the public and who they've sworn an oath to serve. And to approve these policy standards, I mean, we have to unify. We have to start having conversations, much like what's happening here in Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw Fox 13 Channel News panel, but that was a great thing where you had law enforcement and community members starting to talk. You had a doctor and professor from UNLV discussing this. And if we can do it here in our community, then we definitely are going to hold the legislators accountable to hold the same premises at the state or federal level. And conversations have to be had, whether it's definitely addressing the no-knock warrant, civil asset forfeiture, but let's also focus on the over-criminalization that we're seeing throughout the country that leads to a lot of these frivolous contacts that escalate to perhaps the use of excessive force. So I think a lot of things, as we said, the Justice Act have laid out has been phenomenal. I even advocated for it in the sense that most people didn't know it included the creation of a commission on the social status of black men and boys to better understand the unique conditions that black men and boys face in regards to education, health care, criminal justice, and financial inequities. This was just a tremendous bill, and I hope that a lot of things that the Democrats proposes in their bill can come over and really find a unified front so that the president, who has been phenomenal on criminal justice reform as he had helped sign the First Step Act, and I think he is motivated to see some more reform changes that are going to empower our communities. And what we mean by that is, you know, bridging that divide within our communities where police officers can have that trust with the public and the public can trust the police officers, much like the Constitution intends us to have, so that proper protection is protection and service can be rendered, and more importantly, justice for all can be equal and not something where individuals, depending on who you know and what where you live, determines the outcome. And I think that's very, very important.
Explain what the First Step Act was, because that to me was monumental. It was one of the best things that this president in his first 3 years did. It bridged everybody from Britt Hume to Van Jones of CNN. Explain what that bill did.
Yeah, so the First Step Act is just an amazing act that was passed to incentivize basically the rehabilitation of prisons. We've seen over-incarceration, mandatory minimums have led to unintended consequences to where we have an overrun prison, which is where the phrase Black Lives Matter originated from, which to highlight that significant over 40% of the prison population was African-American, and that was the majority. And if this was not a concern for individuals looking to reform the prison system, then how could you ever expect to reform it? And the First Step Act basically allowed the president to basically set those standards to where the sentencing were shortened, okay, for positive behavior. You had job training, and it gave judges and juries the power that the Constitution intended them to have in sentencing, okay? And that's the key part, because if we're looking at our prison system, it's meant to, what, correct individuals. But how can we correct individuals when they get out of prison, they know they don't have opportunities? And so the First Step Act really, really extended to kind of remove a lot of those barriers that were kind of keeping things perpetual, where the recidivism rates was as high as 60-70% in most cases.
That's incredible. Wiz Rezaei joining us. He is a community engagement director for Americans for Prosperity, better known as AFP. We're going to talk about what the future looks like for policing. Is policing going to change? We talked about the culture, all kinds of different things surrounding policing. We'll talk about a little bit more about the future of policing. How, for instance, do we recruit in a system that at least a lot of people believe is broken? We'll do that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall with Wiz Rezaei joining us on AM 670 KMZQ.
You can listen to the radio again on the weekends. On Saturday, you can enjoy Handle on the Law, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, Real Estate Today, and Las Vegas Rocks with Vegas insider Ron Garrett. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
At Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall, they are committed to helping the Las Vegas community in this trying time. If you need any vehicle repair on any model, they are an essential repair facility and got you covered. They have oil changes starting at $19.95, free smogs for life. And if you mention this ad, they'll take 15% off their service cost. Plus, buy any new vehicle, and they have no payments for 90 days. Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall, or online at FinleyAcura.com. Vegas strong.
Embarrassed about your ugly fungal-infected feet? You bet you are. And you have been buying those rotten antifungal products. See, nothing happens. They just sit there and don't work.
Of course they don't. But a new breakthrough discovery is now being marketed as Bye Bye Fungus. And it is the answer to your problems. Bye Bye Fungus is fast acting and has been found by dermatologists to be a topical formulation that actually works. Bye Bye Fungus is budget friendly, painless, has no hideous side effects, and it's as easy to apply as nail polish. But above all else, it's effective. So effective, it's patented. Call 1-800-258-3635 and ask us for Bye Bye Fungus. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com and say Bye Bye Fungus, hello sandals.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by Castle Insurance Group. At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best auto, home, or business policy from name brand carriers like Progressive, Travelers, Safeco, and more. Call 702-714-1060. They're standing by right now by the phone. They'd love to hear from you. The quote, by the way, is free. Oh, I love free. Oh, I love the sound of that. Call 702-714-1060. Castle Insurance Group. Wiz Ruzard is joining us, the Community Engagement Director for Americans for Prosperity. A lot of people are worried about the law enforcement industry as an industry. We see instances in Minneapolis and elsewhere where cops are turning in their badge and their gun, and they're saying it's too dangerous. I don't want to lose my pension, but they're forcing us to do stuff that we don't want to be doing, and that puts our lives at risk. Do you worry that in, you know, reforming cop shops around the country, that we're going to be doing something really bad that's going to cause irreparable harm just to the industry, just to the fact that these people are laying it on the line every day?
Yeah, Kevin, and thank you for having me. As I said before, these aren't new issues for our organization. And they have just basically been a renewed importance and urgency now, given the relevant times that we're in now. And I must say, it's very frustrating to see across the country where you see people are advocating for defunding the police, and police having to turn in their badges, and they're feeling unsafe, and that trust has been fractured. But for us, transforming police culture, we see this, and that's what's beautiful about our Constitution, is the enumerated powers really allows, if you know what the police system looks like, it's really an ecosystem of different municipalities, and each department has different policies, which is why the Justice Act would have been great, because it kind of showed a unified message to all departments across the country on what some of the standards are and what policies are not going to be advocated. But transforming police culture also leads to, you know, the police union agreements that protect bad actors from facing the consequences of their decision. And I think that's something that has to be addressed. A vast majority of police officers and law enforcement leaders across the country are people who risk their lives to serve and protect their communities. And they know that policies around the use of force must change. But we have a lot of times police unions stepping in and really disrupting that ability for those policies and changes to be implemented. Okay, and when we talk about our police officers, we have to also look at the responsibilities that we've placed on them. I mean, as a society, Kevin, we've basically criminalized poverty, addiction, mental health, and so many other issues that, you know, we don't even require, like, adequate intent standards when charging, convicting these people of crimes, yet alone when training these police officers to deal with these type of issues in the community. So, you know, over the past 40 years, that's led to basically us having over 300,000 federal crimes just enforced, and the burden that the police officer carries is just enormous. So we must enact robust federal and state over-criminalization reform. And as you know, Kevin, we have done remarkable things in the state legislature last year on criminal justice reform. One thing that I felt like should have been resolved on the state level that wasn't was civil asset forfeiture. So removing bad incentives such as civil asset forfeiture and qualified immunity will be really good and prevent law enforcement officials who violate people's constitutional rights from being held accountable for their actions. So we must continuously do a lot of work, and our hope is the more conversations, more like what our grassroots platforms and capabilities and our grassroots leaders in the community are doing, it's going to lead to better conversations. And I think our local police officers, the Metro Police Department, the City of Henderson, North Las Vegas, have done a tremendous job of engaging with the community and really discussing some of their policy changes, discussing what it is that they've been doing. And then one of our network partners, Hope for Prisoners, with John Ponder, has been doing a really good job in bringing a lot of individuals together and seeing what we can do to rebuild that trust with our law enforcement agencies.
Wiz, in our final couple of minutes, I want to ask you, though, because there's a fundamental question that needs to be answered before we can move forward on police reformation, and that is policing better done at the local and state level, or do we need the federal government, because they got all the money, obviously, they can go out and print some more if they run out, Is policing best done at the federal level or the local and state level?
If you pull out a map of America and you look at the topography of America, that kind of symbolizes what the Constitution embraced, and that was recognizing that each state and each community is totally different, and therefore the power closest to the people can solve the power can solve the problem the best. So for us, we look at bringing those solutions closest to the people and allowing those people closest to the problem to have the opportunities to solve them. And I think that's a great approach that has done really, really well. As more and more communities engage with their local law enforcement officers, they start to find common ground. And those common grounds foster into policy change and eventually to state change and eventually to the federal level. One thing I do want to notate that Senator Tim Scott did elaborate on his fourth speech after the vote had the Justice Act failed, he said, you know, the federal government only has a certain amount of power that the Constitution states that the power delegated to the federal government is all it has. So even if the Justice Act passed, it only relegates the federal agents per the Constitution. And that's respecting those principles that have been enshrined by our founding fathers of in creating this republic form of government. So therefore, the Justice Act was merely supposed to be and was going to be a catalyst, right, for other states and other local municipalities to start to make effective reform. And we think here at Americans for Prosperity that that's a great approach. Government should influence and advocate, not force, and have a one-glove-fits-all approach.
Wiz, if folks want to know more about what AFP is doing when it comes to law enforcement, the bills that you're going to be backing, that you're going to be supporting, the fundamental reforms that you favor, how do they do it? How do they find out more about what you guys are up to?
Great. Definitely, we challenge each and every person, every listener on this call here to engage with us on these issues. You can find us at Americans for Prosperity Nevada on Facebook, Americans for Prosperity Nevada on Twitter. My name is Wiz Rizard. I'm the Community Engagement Director. You can reach me via email, and that's WROUZ@AFPHQ.org. And I tell you what, Kevin, we can't do this alone. With the power of millions, when we unite, everyone unites, okay, to do the right thing. This country continuously advocates and moves towards the direction of the Founding Fathers' principles of freedom and liberty and equality for all. And we can definitely say, because of our grassroots activists that are out there, we have literally made great changes, but more changes can be done and will be done when you, the listeners, join us in these efforts to make America the best country across the entire globe.
Hey, Wiz, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much, man. When we get the all clear to have folks in studio, we'll have you back in, okay?
Kevin, I can't wait to get back in studio with you. You're just a great energy. I also thank you on behalf